Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are coming to you live from the LiveX studio in Midtown Manhattan. We are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, I try to soldier on after the reported demise of my co-host and get ready for the Bears. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Aaron Jones.
We got the bad. We got
Aaron Rodgers.
We got the ugly. We got
the Packers offense. Difficult to watch after it scored its first two touchdowns on Sunday. How you doing, Banky?
I'm good.
You're good?
Great.
You're good?
Yeah, I am.
You're good. All right.
I am.
All right. We're going with good. That's the official answer.
I'm good. I would be great. I was great after the game. Then I talked to everybody.
Oh, geez.
Then I watched Twitter. Then I flew back.
Always a problem.
And now I hate the world, Nagler. So now I'm just good.
Puerto Rico's in the house.
Now I'm just good. And
what's
you know
up,
what?
Rico?
Half the reason I'm good is because of you. Okay? I would be great.
If it wasn't for me.
You got to get crying McCarthy up in my face, which you're going to watch later. Then you got to.
Oh, you got to give away the cow.
You got to jump into the bandwagon of the press.
I don't know. What on earth are you talking about?
Nagler.
All I do is push back on the press.
No, you don't.
I've literally asked the head coach about his quarterback when no one else will. But I'm.
That's not pushing back on the press.
What are you talking about?
Did you yell at anybody there?
Why would I yell at anyone?
I don't know, because it's fun. If I was there, I would.
I'm not you, Banky.
If I was there, I would.
I did see someone say they weren't going to like this video until we yelled at each other, so we better get on with it.
Done.
So should we get to the news? Is that what you're saying?
Is there news?
Well, minimal. The Packers activated Jared Valdir, the tackle that they got from the Patriots after he came out of retirement. They picked him up off waivers. He is now officially a member of the 53-man roster. Adam Pankey, we hardly knew ye. He was the corresponding move.
Who is that?
Exactly. An offensive lineman. A backup offensive lineman.
Got it.
I'm interested to see now, obviously he's not about to start anytime soon, but you have to think he is the first man up if either tackle goes down.
Mm-hmm.
LaFleur was asked today specifically, do you only see him running on the right? And LaFleur said, no, we know he has experience and the capability to play both. So, ergo, Alex Light, it's been fun, but I think Valdir is the first man up if somebody goes down at tackle. Next up, Matt LaFleur, speaking of the coach, the first ever history, 100 years, franchise been around, first coach ever, 10 wins his inaugural season.
Nice.
That's pretty damn impressive.
That's a lot better than Dan Devine.
That's worlds better than Dan Devine. I mean,
that's better than Bart Starr.
That's better,
Dan
that's better than all those guys. I mean, come on. I mean, that's better than Mike Sherman. That's better than Mike McCarthy.
It's not better than Curly Lambeau.
Well, because I don't think he had.
Wasn't he a rookie head coach in 1919? And they had 16 games. They had 10 games in the first one.
They have 10 games. He didn't win 10 of them. I don't think.
Interesting. I might have just found a hole. I might have just found a hole.
Ahoy there, matey. Arrg. I don't know why it's a pirate thing, but why not?
Okay.
Why not?
That's weird.
Why not?
Our record was 10-1 in 1919.
Okay, there you go.
So wait a second. I'm confused. Oh, we've got an entire press corps sitting asking questions, and no one asks Jason Wallers, hey, how come Curly Lambeau's rookie year doesn't count?
Maybe there was an outlier there. Maybe they played a game on the moon or something.
This is a controversy, Nagler. Yeah. We have discovered controversy in the beginning of the show. I hadn't even read the script.
Shocker.
And now I'm finding a controversy. Oh, Walsh, can you get me my Gatorade? It's in the studio.
Hey, by the way, if you want to give us some money, Air Force mention, King drink, you are welcome to. We're just giving it away, Banky. Just giving it all away.
Yeah, better than Forrest Gregg, better than Dan Devine, but not better than Curly Lambeau. This is a controversy, people. There needs to be an asterisk next to this record.
Let's see.
We need to find
now
out.
Now you got me all, all
what?
Curious.
You think I'm not? You think
no,
I'm lying?
No, I know you're right. No, I don't think you're lying. No, of course not.
I mean, granted, we played the Harlem Globetrotters of teams. Literally, Curly Lambeau would be like, hey, guys, want to be the Racine Hornets today? Because we need somebody to beat. So, you know, I mean, I
hilarious.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny. Like, hey, let's shit on our founder. That's like what's going to happen in 10 years when someone.
Let's make sure what it is. I mean,
but here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? After we sell Cheesehead TV for $100 million, someone.
Who the flying is paying $100 million? Who's playing $5 for Cheesehead TV?
$100,000. So someone. Oh, sweet Walsh. Thank you. I totally forgot that, so I need that. Someone.
See, here's the caveat.
What?
Here's how they couch it. Matt LaFleur passed Mike Holmgren and Mike Sherman for the most NFL wins by a Packers head coach in their first season. 1919, they had not yet entered and joined the NFL.
Jason Wallers, want an asterisk.
That's the loophole on
Packers.com.
That's me. That's first him in Packers coach. That's like the in the NFL is because we don't have enough room to put that in.
We're
the
more
third.
Important than the NFL.
Well, that's probably
true. There were
true.
2 years that the NFL did not exist.
Correct.
And we still be playing football.
Correct.
And then we were so good that the NFL was like, hey, can you join our squad?
What I'm trying to say
we
is...
We need Green Bay right now.
What I'm trying to say is don't punish Jason Wallers for the sin of Aaron Nagler's lower third right now.
No, what I'm saying is I feel like the Packers should put an asterisk. If we put this record on Packers.com...
Right.
Okay?
But if they say NFL wins, that's correct. Because when in 1919, there was no NFL.
You know what? You know, that's correct in the same way.
Oh, boy.
That's correct in the same way as people who wear 1921 Packer hats.
Right. I saw a 1921 Packers onesie at the airport.
What?
Yep. They were selling 1921 Packers onesies in the Appleton airport.
Burn it.
I'm just saying. It was there.
So, like, technically, legalistically, that's correct, but that's dumb.
Correct. Yes. I mean, that hasn't stopped anybody from making a buck ever.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know what? All we got to do is win this weekend, and then
We're
all good.
It all goes away.
This weekend or the week after, we're all good.
And then we're done. Done.
So then I'll.
Speaking of this weekend, the Packers, can you believe this? They can clinch a playoff berth this weekend.
Love it. But we need some help, don't we? Don't the Rams have to lose?
Yes, they need to win, and the Rams need to lose.
The other thing that I noticed about that when we're doing the Mega Madden preview,
right.
one of my mistakes of gaming everything out.
Yeah, but to be fair, you did ask.
It wasn't a mistake.
Asked for opinions from the outside.
But the thing is, the thing that I didn't see that blinded me was if the Niners kept winning.
Arrogance blinds.
One of the things was if the Niners kept winning, it gave us the second seed. Because the whole entire time, I was having Saints winning, I was Seahawks winning, right? And then we got the third, and it was like we couldn't get out of this third seed hole, right? But now we're sitting in that second seed
You've
slot.
Seen the light.
I love me some Niners. Let the Niners keep winning.
Oh, there we go. There, our friends at Packer Page, I stole this. This is perfectly put. Cowboys win over the Rams, or a game ends in a tie, and the Packers win over the Bears. Packers are in the playoffs. I mean, remember the last 2 years when there was no hope for playoffs?
No one remembers that.
I remember it. I remember the 80s. I remember the 70s.
You remember 2010?
I don't ever want to go back to that.
You remember 2010?
I do indeed.
When there weren't a bunch of fucking annoying people talking about the Packers all the time and putting them in their own frame of reference?
Wait a second. Didn't we do that in 2010?
Yeah, but there weren't that many people. Now it's like...
It wasn't oversaturated.
It wasn't oversaturated. Oversaturated is like an understatement of the year.
Right.
I mean... Literally, we are living in a world where if you don't fit the window, right?
The box.
I definitely do not fit the window, okay? I told myself I was not going to go crazy today on the show, and here I am.
And here you go.
If you don't fit the window, if you don't fit my fantasy mold, if you don't fit the quarterback of tomorrow, if you don't fit whatever window that I've decided, right?
The prism of which I view the NFL.
So like Ben Fennell's post or Andy's post or whoever, right? I'm not trying to talk shit about a specific person, but you got, and you, I blame you too, okay?
Me.
Because you use the frame of reference and the lens from which, like, no one defines what that lens is, right? It's like if I have a camera and I'm using a 70 to 100 millimeter lens, right? I know where my lens is. I know what my focal length is. I know what my frame of reference is, right?
There's a physical thing you're looking through that you know is defining what you're seeing.
Right. So I'm looking at this because I'm comparing Aaron Rodgers to all these other quarterbacks, right? And one of the big issues is that because we're not really announcing our frame of reference first, people say the dumb, it just seems like some of the dumbest stuff you'd ever, like, is there a world that exists? Is there an alternate reality that exists, right? Mm-hmm. Where the Packers could have won that game and every single person wasn't a negative Nelly? Yeah, I don't know.
Probably.
I don't know. If we were to run up the score, I was thinking about it.
Right.
I was like, is there a
point where, like, if you're scoring, it's 45-0 in the third quarter and you don't take Aaron Rodgers out and you put up like 60 points, is it then, is Matt LaFleur arrogant? Is he piling on? Is too much? Like, yeah, I feel
you. Can't win.
I feel you.
You can't win. And here's what's sad. Here's what's really sad.
Like, unless you play by the rule book. Yep. Right.
Here's what you just said, right? Mm-hmm. Remember last year? Mm-hmm. Remember how that felt? I do.
Yeah.
And you know what? I remember it so well. I remember what it felt like 10 years ago. How many freaking minutes of this stupid show are going to be spent? And you know, here's what I'm going to get the pushback, right?
I think a lot.
Oh, Corey, don't tell me how to fan. Don't tell me how to be a fan. Be a fan! Like, be a fan. You know what a fan does? They hope that you win.
Yeah. I feel you.
They don't hope that you have good draft picks.
Right.
They don't hope that you have a second wide receiver like another team.
Oh, God.
No, they hope that you win. You are the team that you are. And here's where we are. Jason Perrone had a good post. I've talked about it all year.
Oh, Perrone's post today was fantastic.
We are the team that we are. We have got to stop putting this freaking lens. People say rose-colored glasses, whatever. Right. Whatever the color of the glasses that you are using for your frame of reference to look at the Packers, destroy it, blow it up, and look at the Packers as they truly are. Because what I'm sick of, right? Mm-hmm. You did this to me at training camp.
I know what you're talking about.
You know, there is objectivity only exists with a control piece.
Right.
Right? You can say, oh, I'm being honest or I'm being objective, but to what control, right? To what frame of reference, right? Mm-hmm. So if you took scouting school at the NFL scouting, well, I don't even know what this is, right? So, like,
mythical.
Like, the other thing is, like,
school.
What gives you the right? I don't care how many coaches you've ever, I don't care how many teams you've ever, what gives people the right to watch every play, mm-hmm. right? And then grade the play. What are you grading the play on, right? So, Ben Fennell, he brings up this really good point. He's like, look, I'm saying that Aaron Rodgers steps back and he has these two options. He doesn't take the two options. Instead, he runs through the middle. Mm-hmm. And because he ran through the middle, I give him a C, right? I'm ballparking. So I'm not hating on Ben Fennell.
Ben's friend of show.
I'm not hating on anybody here, but I want everybody to just kind of step back and go, okay, well, what gives you the right, right? So to me, I'm like, there's variables there, right?
Of course, always, on every single play.
And you can see the variables on tape.
Yeah.
You don't know what's in people's minds, and you don't know what was actually called. And here is the fundamental problem. Mm-hmm. If you don't know the play that was called, right? Trips right, 7, break, 5, 9, 12, 13, right? If you do not...
Or any adjustments made at the line of scrimmage. Right.
If you do not know all of those things, how in the hell are you going to make an informed decision about what the fuck is going on in the field? Am I wrong?
No. Okay. There's so many layers here. I don't even. Oh, should I just let you? I can leave for a bit if you just want to keep going. You're not wrong at all. You're absolutely pinpoint accurate. And this is, interestingly enough, this is a conversation that we had in the locker room during media availability on Monday afternoon, because Ben had put that tweet up saying that it was one of Aaron's worst games in a while, which, incidentally, I agreed with. I didn't think Aaron played very well at all, and not because of any tape breakdown or anything. I just think he didn't play a very good game. Now, that said,
but not
everyone, and we'll get to that later, was in the offensive section where I feel.
A bad Aaron Rodgers game, though.
It's still very good, of course. And this is what we always talk about. It's like the standard that he's set, right?
Everybody grades the guy on a curve. So it's like.
But. So everyone in the locker room was like, well, you know, we don't know the reads, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, No, and that's fair. That's a fair criticism. Ben, or anyone doing tape breakdowns, doesn't know the reads. And to that point, Kurt Warner was someone who pushed back on Ben in regards to that tweet, in regards to a guy who's done it at an insanely high level and looked at the tape and maybe knows a little bit more about what's going on the field and what's, you know, possibly happening. All of that said, you can still make informed, you can still form an informed decision slash opinion from what you see on the tape. This idea that, okay, you don't know the read, or you don't know what was said in the huddle, or you don't know what adjustment was made. That's all true. That doesn't change the fact that A, B, and C were open.
Right.
And you didn't find them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, inherently, yes, of course, we don't know 1, 2, 3 in the progression. But we can still, the tape, the eye in the sky doesn't lie when it comes to people being open. And this is my thing where I get insane. Is like you were talking about, like, people keep pushing back on, oh, no one's getting open. Okay, wait, why are they not getting open? Because a lot of times, because the opponent is playing coverage too deep back, that's why they run it so much to try and get them out of that too deep shell, blah, 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 blah. So it's multi-layered. That's where I sometimes have an issue about these blanket statements that get made regarding, oh, they don't have anyone who can get open. No, there's plenty of tape showing you people can get open. Well, Aaron Rodgers is playing terrible. Well, maybe he didn't have the best game, but it's not all down to him. Oh, well, the offensive line can't block. I saw David Bakhtiari is average at best on Twitter this
right,
week.
Right, but it was an egg saying that?
No, wasn't an egg. But okay, it was a fan.
So
it's not an analyst.
So just,
I'm just saying,
just like, the second piece, which we talked about in my house. Okay, right. This is my second piece, right, which is what's really annoying the shit out of me right now.
This is, by the way, this has now turned into a therapy session.
Situational.
So far gone from the script, but I like it.
The National Football League, right, is a situational game.
You were spot on.
Everyone is playing a situational game except the people analyzing football. They have weird, right? No idea. I find it so infuriatingly maddening that these guys and these people who follow the coach, they can't even get in the man's shoes. Okay, look, you are in the first quarter. What is your job? Run up the score. 14-0. Okay, we're winning.
Right. And this is, okay, we were going to get to this in the defense, but like I said, we're off the script. So this perfectly segues into what I was talking about this week about Mike Pettine and people saying, like, look, they score 14 points, right? They score 2 touchdowns. And in that time, the Washington football team punted 4 times. 3 3-and-outs to start the game. And then they had a first down via penalty, and then they punted. So Mike Pettine, seeing that the offense has scored 2 touchdowns, and Washington has clearly come to the point where it's like, okay, it's going to be a struggle. Not that we're going to shut them down all day.
Nope.
But it's going to be a struggle for them to move the ball. He clearly dials it back, plays coverage, and makes them earn it. That's situational football.
And then,
your point,
in the second
then
quarter,
everybody goes insane, like, oh, they went on that 95-yard drive. It's like, yes, because they were playing a totally different style of defense than they were in the first quarter, because it was clear that Haskins wasn't up to the task that day.
They adjusted for situational football.
Exactly.
And then in the second quarter, they scored 6 points.
Now.
And then in the third quarter, they scored 3 points. And then, right, in the fourth quarter, they scored 6 points. At no time in this game. At no time. Okay.
Zero times.
Now, take your own attitudes of you watching the game, whoever's watching right now, okay, how you felt or how it felt or your emotional feelings.
By the way.
Because trust me, I have emotional feelings.
Which was very frustrating, mostly due to the offense.
It's frustrating, yes. But as far as the score goes, the team that we were playing against, not one time in that game.
Never once.
Ever took the lead in the game.
Or even threatened to even take control of the game.
Nope.
Like, there was no point. Where you felt, oh gosh,
nope,
here they come.
But here's, right, what people do. Well, there are 3-9 teams, so you should do X and X and X. Wait a second. This is the frame of reference thing.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I checked, this is why I don't like college football.
Oh, dear.
Because for every college team, I'm talking about Ohio State.
Right, right,
how
right.
many players that play for Ohio State right now are going to play in the NFL? 4?
Most of them. No,
5?
The Ohio State?
11?
A lot more than that. Yeah, a bunch. A whole bunch.
Less than 11. It's not going to be the whole entire team, my friend. It's not going to be.
A lot of them.
Half the team, maybe. Half of the starters.
Oh, yeah, okay, well, I see. Come on. You're talking about the whole squad. You're probably right.
53 people, 11 guys are going to get on an NFL team.
A lot more than
53
in college rosters.
Okay, whatever. That's why I don't watch college. My point being, not many people, Ohio State is a bad example, but not many people from Madison, Wisconsin. How many people from Wisconsin are on NFL teams right now that played last year?
Not a lot.
Five?
No, less than that probably.
Okay, that's most colleges. Most Division I colleges, you're talking about four players if they're lucky.
There's a lot of future gym teachers of America.
Okay, so every team, if you just take that and extrapolate that, every damn team in the NFL has the greatest players on it. Okay, I don't care if you're 3-9 or you're 0-12 or what the hell you are. You're an NFL team. And guess what? More importantly, Mike Pettine and Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
They are living in a different world than you and I, okay?
Of course they are.
And this is my biggest, this comes all comes around to, you know, if you're sitting in the press box or you're here on the show or you're sitting on YouTube, we all have cushy lives compared to these guys, okay? These guys have cushy lives in the sense of they have a lot of money.
Right.
But as far as what they think about during a game and what they're worried about.
They're in another world.
They're in a whole nother alien world. We have no idea what that's like.
That's true.
And I will say that they take, you know, Matt LaFleur saying we got to win 1-0. Yeah, every press guy's like, oh, I can't write my story because you didn't give me any good nuggets, LaFleur, but he believes that, and those coaches believe that because they know damn well that if they start thinking of other shit, they're not going to focus on what's important in front of their face right now, and that takes to the game. I'm in the first quarter, I'm in situational football, what do I need to do? Okay, I'm in the second quarter, I'm in situational football. They're not thinking, oh, this is a 3-9 team, I should be able to do whatever. That's not how they're thinking.
Nope, not at all. Especially LaFleur, he's talked about that a lot.
There is an inability in our world today where we cannot step in the shoes. This goes to empathy, but this goes to we cannot step in the shoes of any other people in this world.
We'll return to that later in the show.
That's interesting.
How are you feeling, Coach?
I'm not feeling good, Nagler. I'm not feeling good because you know what?
Here we go.
We're 10-3.
Yep.
And everybody should just be like, what is the problem? What is the problem?
Well, we got a comment like that.
Because we don't know our offense?
We got a comment like that on Patreon. Actually, let's read that, because that was a really good, I thought.
I don't understand. People are losing their damn minds.
No, I thought Luke had a really good comment on the Patreon, the pre-show Patreon behind the scenes look we gave. Luke had a great comment. He said, the live chat, in regards to getting, I'd like just to say that this week was not fun in the Packers media. Sounds like you, Corey. I couldn't believe all the negativity, and I'm still not over it. I love watching highlights and reading up about what's going on, but every story was awful. We are winning games. Can we find something other than what went wrong to talk about? I mean, that's pretty spot on right there.
And it's
in regards to what you're talking about.
It's getting worse.
Because it's like, okay, wait, they're winning. We must. If it bleeds, it leads. So we have to find the things to prick the pins in. And look.
But also, if it bleeds, it doesn't lead. Because papers aren't. There's less people reading the paper than there were yesterday.
Yeah, but that's not.
But that doesn't work.
No, it does. It's not just papers. It's online. You know that. Like, you read something like Aaron Rodgers killed a kitten, you're going to can click on it.
No, I'm not.
If Aaron Rodgers saves a homeless man, you're like, yeah, okay, maybe I'll click. That's just the way it works. That's
I'm
just
not clicking on either.
That's just human nature. You're not, but humans will or won't.
Are you saying I'm not a human?
No, I'm saying you're not a normal human.
Well,
I don't think that's breaking news.
No one.
Can we get back on script now? Or what? Are we going to, you know, you just want
to. Where did we get to?
Laugh about. We didn't even get out of news.
Rodgers is who he is.
Yes, he is. And that's what I wanted to start our topic of the offense here. Rodgers is who he is. And look, in the game, during the game, I get as frustrated as anyone watching Aaron Rodgers play the position of quarterback when he has a game like he had on Sunday against Washington. And I wanted to pull this clip, and I put this up on Twitter. Here's my thing. You're in midfield, it's first and 10. You want to take a shot. You've got all these long developing routes. It's like McCarthy never left. Watch everyone disappear off the screen, right? Watch all the Washington defenders also disappear off the screen. So clearly, you wanted to take a shot. They played coverage. That's fine. Look at Jamal Williams. He's wide, blazingly open for the checkdown. Rodgers can clearly tell that they're playing coverage by the time he hits the top of his drop. You're up 17-6. Just hit the checkdown in rhythm. This is the thing that drives me insane. This, everyone talks about Tom Brady or Drew Brees and the differences and blah, 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 and the production. That's it. It's the willingness. It's not the ability, because of course Rodgers has all the ability in the world. It's the willingness to play in the rhythm of the offense. And yes, sometimes he breaks pocket and finds somebody downfield and makes a great play, and we live with it. Rodgers is who he is, as I say here. I wish sometimes, and maybe LaFleur will get this out of him, but I doubt it. It's like teaching an old dog new tricks.
This is who he is.
Exactly. But it's like the detriment is the fumble that he had this past week, and those are fucking killers. If it's any other team other than Washington, that's a major problem. Look at the Philadelphia game, a game they lost. Look at the San Francisco game, the game they lost. Those games turned on his fumbles. Like, you cannot just play within the rhythm of the offense. And I know I'm preaching to the air here. He's never going to change. I get it.
Well,
I'm venting frustration.
It goes to a big picture. It goes to a bigger picture thing, which you got to believe cerebrally he understands.
Oh, yes.
Father Time is real.
Yep.
You see that with Tom Brady.
Yep.
Tom Brady somewhat changed his game as he got older, right?
A little bit.
He stayed in the pocket. He was always a pocket passer, but right. If Aaron Rodgers does not do that over time, his style of play is going to catch up with
him. But here's the other thing. It's like, go back and look at, apropos, this week, they're facing the Bears, who they also faced in week one when he came back and had to play from the pocket, where he was on a bum leg and was forced to, was not able to break contain.
Yeah.
He had to throw.
Well, there's
from
no
the
doubt.
Pocket, and he fucking tore them apart.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt he can do that.
Yes, that's my point. Just play, because he was forced to play
but how
within
much
the rhythm
of, that is
of the
he
offense.
He doesn't have a quarterback's coach.
Well, that's funny, isn't it? The Bon Iver clip where he's like, you know, people ask me if I got a quarterback's coach, and I say, no, of course not. You know, once Alex Van Pelt was out the door, it was all over. I mean, and hey, shout out to Luke Getsy, because you came back for your boy Aaron Rodgers, and he's like clowning the fact that he doesn't have a quarterback's coach. And by the way, you are the quarterback's coach. Welcome to Green Bay.
I mean, if you're Aaron Rodgers' quarterback coach at this point,
like, that's just a meal ticket is all that is.
Like, you just collect that paycheck.
Exactly. Although, to be fair, on Getsy's behalf, and, you know, he is part of the triangulation of the mindset that is creating the Packers offense for good or evil. You know, it's very much LaFleur, Hackett, and Getsy. Like, that's the trio.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't want to belittle or dismiss everything Getsy's contributing. But when it comes to coaching quarterbacks, it's like, yeah, there ain't no fundamental cleanup or anything going on at the quarterback position.
I've never met anyone in my life who's really good at what they do who doesn't think they need some kind of coaching at some point. And that's talent
thing.
On camera, right? You have a producer who's coaching you.
You're not.
That's everybody. We all have to constantly learn at all times.
Yep. You can never think that you've arrived.
Nope. And you know? And that is what on that. And I don't think that's what he was going for. But that was a bit when I watched that interview, I was like, whoa, wow, that's not, what you think?
Yeah,
that's
not great.
Like to me...
Now, maybe he's... Now, we can't know. If he ever accepted our invitation to have an interview, well, I'd love to ask him. But maybe. My hope is that he's just kind of playing that up and joking. You know what I mean? Like,
I think
really
so too.
Playing it off.
I do think so, too, because I don't think he believes that.
If he really
he's a really smart person.
That. Yes, exactly. But if he really believes that?
Like, no smart person who's ever been successful will tell you, oh, I don't... I've been live streaming since 2004, maybe. Yeah, 2004. I was doing a live stream on 4G network at Austin, South by Southwest.
Right.
There are I am always learning. Right. And I've been doing it longer than most people, as far as streaming goes.
In that space. Yeah. Definitely.
And I'm going to be in my 80s. I'm going to be learning. So it was kind of surprising that he said that.
And then I wanted to get to Aaron Jones, who... You know, look, I want to clarify something here when it comes to Aaron Jones, because I saw coming off of that game, they need to use Aaron Jones more.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that's correct.
What? Like, my frustration was not utilizing Aaron Jones from the first snap to the last and running the offense through him. And I wrote that in gut reactions.
Okay.
But it seems to have gotten misconstrued. Because I've got a bunch of
responses. How could you use him more? He had one of his greatest games of all time, receiving and rushing.
He had like 16 carries. He had like seven or eight catches.
129 yards.
He had a bunch of yards. But people see Jamal Williams out there for a whole drive and they go, why is he out there?
That's like, never going to change.
No, I know. Oh, that's very clear.
This goes back.
Has made that this, very
but,
clear.
But for good reason. This goes back to who are we?
Right.
And people trying to make us something we're not instead of, and that's really what it is, right? You, mm-hmm. Andy, everybody in that press room.
What do I do?
They all want to make here? The Packers something that they're not. Instead of accepting the Packers of 2019 for who they are.
I'm literally sitting here saying it doesn't matter what their identity is. Identity is a fraud. I'm literally pushing back on every media narrative.
Identity is a fraud.
But it's me.
Identity is a fraud.
But
I'm
the
why
one.
Tom Silverstein is a
so
fraud.
So wait. All right, Banky. What the f*** is your problem? What did I do? This week.
You're not
that's
helping.
Got your ire up.
I wish you would help.
You've got something.
You gotta help.
You keep referencing me. What? What am I not doing?
You're not seeing them for you're saying the same things that you're saying.
What?
You're not seeing
in
them for who
way?
They are.
Point out.
You're like,
a
I need Aaron
I
Jones
said.
More. It makes you unhappy that he's using Jamal Williams as much as he's using it.
No. No. No.
Over the
literally.
Season. Over the season, not this show. Over the season. It doesn't make you happy that what? We're not featuring.
It's not a
Aaron
question
Jones.
Of being happy with the usage. It's not a question of being where they are being used or how they're being used. It's a question of mindset. And Aaron Jones clearly being their best option and utilizing that rather than predetermining usage where, well, this is the Aaron Jones drive. This is the Jamal Williams drive. Now we're back to the Aaron Jones drive. That makes no sense.
Why?
Because look at the game. When Aaron Jones is in there, they're moving the football. When Jamal Williams is in there, they're not moving the football. Like that first quarter of that game tells you all you need to know. Because you want to utilize, especially in this fucking stretch run. I got it. I defended it all year until the bye week because I thought, okay, they're keeping Aaron Jones fresh. Never been through 16 games.
But that's
never
the thing.
Never been healthy. And I get it.
But that's but
now
that's
it's
a
time to grasp it.
I get
go
it.
Go for
but,
the brass
also,
ring.
In
play
a game,
your
though,
best players.
In a game, right? If I'm right. up 14. Okay, so let's go back to situational football.
Absolutely.
Okay? I'm the coach.
Right.
I could never be the coach because I'd be terrible. But in this hypothetical circumstance,
right.
I'm up 14 points.
Right.
Okay. I may need Aaron Jones in the second half.
Right.
So why the hell wouldn't I use Jamal Williams and see what I got in the second quarter?
Well, they did. They did. Absolutely.
But to me, that's smart. That's going, hey, you know what?
Or
I want Aaron Jones in the third and the fourth quarter. And
right.
also it does goes like you'd say, oh, well, let's see it. Let's see what I need Aaron Jones. Okay. We've already clinched, hopefully, after this weekend.
I haven't clinched shit. I haven't clinched shit.
We are probably, there's like a 99% chance.
93%. 93. They're at
went
93.
Down?
They're at 93, right?
It was at 95.
The Rams keep winning. The Rams are a problem.
Lord. Anyway, if I need this guy through the whole season, that's, he's, the thing that is, Matt LaFleur decided to do this so long ago.
Of course, right.
Like, this is who we are. Okay? Wishing is not going to change it. Nagler wishing is not going to change
more
it.
Big Bob Tonyan, please. Speaking of wishing, I want more Big Bob Tonyan. Finally,
we're on the script now. Also, we're not talking it. About a certain wide receiver because I don't want people to do the shots game. They're trying to do the shots game on the chat.
Well, no, but they said it was for the chat, I thought. So then
it's for the chat.
I'm assuming everyone's drunk.
Say a certain wide receiver's name, which I'm not. He's going to be Voldemort of this show. Okay.
I didn't include
so you better
him in
not
the script.
Be in the script.
He's not in the script. No, you would know that if you ever read the script.
Why
but
would
I never
I
do.
Read the script?
I know that's
not fun when I read the script.
Fair point.
I think about it too much. I get in my head instead of just yelling at you.
More Big Bob Tonyan, please. Okay, we can go to the defense.
I love Big Bob Tonyan.
So do I. You got a touchdown. I'm really happy. And you should play more. Sorry for hoping for things.
What?
Never let that happen again.
Are you going to cry now?
No.
Are you going to pull a McCarthy?
We're going to get to McCarthy later, though, and he'll start crying.
Okay, don't start pulling a McCarthy.
Okay, can you talk to the people? I need a beer.
Where are you going to leave?
Yep, I'm going
to get a beer. No, one wants to see me sitting here. Okay. She's showing an empty seat right now. She's like, look at the empty seat with Nagler. Oh, I think I hurt his feelings. It's okay. It's not going to be the last time that happens. There's a Niners fan watching the stream. That's weird. Yeah, I think I hurt his feelings, so he had to go cry, and then he's coming back.
All right. Are we back on script? Have you got it all out?
You already did the D'Artagnan thing. You went back on script.
You ready?
I'm always ready.
You're not ready. Okay, so Rashawn Gary. People complain. He's a bust, whatever. Look at this rep, people, and tell me this is a bust. This guy is awesome. He played 13 snaps on Sunday, and people want to bitch that he's a bust. Look at him blow by Moses.
Who's a bust?
Gary. I get it every week.
What?
Rashawn Gary's a bust.
Who is saying that?
Oh, idiots online. I just love this rep. Look at him. I mean, everybody on this rep is awesome, but...
I was about to say, that was a crash.
I love it. I love it. I mean, Z's amazing. He's absolutely wrecking things inside. But if you think Rashawn Gary is a bust... just resign from watching football. That's all I got to say.
That entire play
is gold.
Destroyed.
I love Rashawn Gary. He is going to be such a good player for the Packers. Josh Jackson. Speaking of good players for the Packers who are unfairly maligned by some in the fan base, Kevin King was down because of his shoulder injury. Josh Jackson got elevated and played a bunch more snaps than he has been and acquitted himself quite well. It was nice to see. LaFleur also mentioned how he's showing up on special teams. Just happy to see this kid getting some play.
Because a lot of time.
There's been a lot, yeah, exactly. Because there's been a lot of questions around him. He's a pretty premier draft pick. You want to get some kind of return out of it. Nice to see him getting some playing time. And then Pettine, this is what I was alluding to earlier. We talked about situational football. I just wanted to point out people talking about how they were aggressive early. You saw Adrian Amos got his first sack of the season because they had guys up at the line. They knew Haskins couldn't handle that. He's not going to make the call, the protection calls. He's not going to know what the hell Pettine's throwing at him. They got 3-3 and outs. They got up 2 touchdowns. Pretty much after that, the game was over. You know, and that's situational football. So Pettine definitely called off the dogs because they knew they were in control. Now, yes, they went on a 95-yard drive. A big part of that was Geis's run where he got hurt. But for the most part, the Packers are in control that entire game. So I understand being frustrated.
Not according to everybody online.
I understand being frustrated by the offense, which is what most people are alluding to online. But the Packers had control of that game throughout.
I firmly believe that people are not frustrated with the audience, with the offense. I firmly believe that people have some idea of what they think the offense should be.
Right.
Because back in 2008 and 2009 right. and 2010, which I love that offense. I mean, I was loving it, right?
Yeah, sure.
But we are putting the expectations of a Mike McCarthy offense
got used to.
And what we think the Packers offense should be, and we are applying it to today.
Well, I think it's twofold, right? I mean, it's partly that. I do totally agree with that. And I put up a clip from Extra Cheese earlier this week where I did wonder how much of what's kind of ailing them on offense as far as the fits and starts, because you can't deny that it's not efficient. It's not. It's very herky-jerky, whatever. But maybe some of that is attributed to the fact that LaFleur brought everything he's learned from Shanahan, from McVay, into a situation where, okay, I've got this all-star quarterback who's got everything he's enjoyed and is comfortable with from his years with Mike McCarthy, and they've tried to squish it together, and LaFleur talked about this all summer, to create the Packers offense.
Yeah.
It would seem, my hunch is, that where that's where the friction, not friction, because it's not, I don't think it's a war between the two, but I do think there's no flow because they'll be going along with what LaFleur does, and then they'll get into some of those spread concepts. It's a lot of the McCarthy, quote unquote, the McCarthy stuff,
yeah,
where Aaron is calling the plays and you know, rerouting guys at the line of scrimmage, etc. And then it just doesn't flow. It just doesn't flow. And I have no doubt that's something they'll look at this offseason, but to your point, it's who they are. And there was a time, about a month, when Davante Adams was out, when it was flowing pretty well.
Right.
You know, it's just a question of finding that again.
And I do think a lot of our, it's like 30 to 40% of the lack of efficiency has to do with penalties on the offensive line.
Oh, gosh.
Slash wide receivers, right?
Whether it's holding, look, whether it's false starts.
Everybody knows this.
Putting you behind
yourself
the sticks.
Back yep. because you got a penalty, and that happened in at least
you know,
four drives in that game.
I didn't feel compelled to do it this week when we met with LaFleur on Monday, but I did think of this the other day because, like, every time he's asked about that, he talks about being behind the sticks, right? Like you're, what you're alluding to there about how they're getting in way too much because their third down percentage has been abysmal for the most part this season.
Which is not typical of Rodgers as a quarterback.
Exactly my point. So I get that kind of pushback. I get that response. But at some point, you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. That used to be nothing for him. And yes, I understand it's a different supporting cast. But it's not like a 15-yard comeback is something that not, you know, no one else on this team can run. It's not like Davante Adams can't get open. It's just these smoke screens when it's third and 18. Or we're going to run a 8-yard curl that's designed to have like offensive linemen out to, or everyone runs deep and we run a shallow crosser underneath and he hopefully gets up, or we run everybody deep and we throw it to Jimmy Graham short and then he tries to run for 15 yards. Like, those are not the plays that Aaron Rodgers has made a living on, erasing third and long. Like, third and long used to be, okay, we're going to run a deep post and then combo it maybe with a deep crosser, a deep in cut, and Rodgers is going to fire downfield.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I get, again, that it's not the same supporting cast, but it does seem like he could possibly maybe trust his quarterback a little bit more in those situations. That's just a crazy little, whatever you call it, observation from this side of the table. Bears are coming to town, Banky. Bears are coming to town.
Bear down.
This is this Sunday, the 200th meeting between these two teams.
There have been more Bears games than Packer transplants.
Yes, sir. Because we're at 190.
I only 10 games.
And it took them 100 years, what it's taken us 10 years to do.
Yeah, I think
like
they started, 1925, 24, I think.
A long time ago.
24, 25, I think, is their first.
200th meeting. It's the NFL's oldest rivalry, and it's a big one.
It's a big one for the Bears.
Yeah, it's a big one for the Packers, too.
If we lose, it's fine. What?
You lose that one? The Rams win?
We're not losing to the Lions.
Okay.
I think the Vikings game is the biggest game of the season.
Oh, well, of course, for control of the division. But they lose this Bears game, there's some trouble in River City.
But we're not going to. Mitch Trubisky is going to give us the game.
This is the Bears Super Bowl.
This is.
The Bears Super Bowl.
You could see it. You can see it with Big Cat. You can see it with everybody.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Big Cat, thanks for not showing up.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Big Cat.
I invited him.
I've never met you.
He was too. He was too.
Thanks for coming or not coming. Ooh, Lambo looks so nice behind me. Lambo looks better than me always.
When the sun goes down, it's so gorgeous. It's lovely.
It makes my shot look so good.
The Packers lead, by the way, in the 200th. This will be 200. The Packers lead in the all-time series 98, 95, and 6.
Six ties.
Yeah. I don't want to see no tie on Sunday. The last four,
tie would not be good. That would be as bad as a loss.
It would not be great. The last four matchups have been decided by a touchdown or less.
I don't like it.
Touchdown or less. I can't handle that.
I
need us to pull away.
I really feel like we're going to pull
away. I can't handle that.
I know I say this a lot. I didn't say this last week, but I do really feel like we're going to just like
annihilate them.
Yeah, I really do, because I know it's their touchdown. I mean, I know it's their Super Bowl.
It is.
But Mitch Trubisky sucks. He's terrible.
He's not good.
He's terrible. It's a toss-up. Who's better, Kirk Cousins or Mitch Trubisky?
Oh, Cousins by a mile.
But only recently. That's not a toss-up. Only recently that was like.
Yeah, Cousins has been
Cousins oh
up and
God.
Down, when, inconsistent, but he's never been as bad.
When he
as
starts dancing, he really gets bad. As soon as he starts dancing,
that's true. That's
he
fair.
Gets real bad.
Now that's fair. Now, there you go. The Packers are 5-0 this season when they kick off at noon.
Mm.
Who would have thunk that? I mean, I remember with McCarthy. They were good on all the other games, but the noon kickoffs were always like they start lethargically. Some team hangs around that shouldn't be, and they fart away a game. They're 5-0 at noon. So I'm happy it's a noon.
I love it. Speaking of, I want to talk about something. Live from Stadium Drive is on our chat, watching our show.
What? Legends in the chat?
What?
What is good? The legends of Live at Stadium Drive
live
are here.
Live at Stadium Drive.
Watching us.
Is literally the show that the experts watch.
Shouldn't we like get to the next segment and then talk about them?
Because well, that's he's in
technically,
the chat.
I know it's technically, but it's technically the next segment, right? Okay, Aubrey, hit it.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere!
That's right. It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Live from Stadium Drive, Stadium View is here.
Okay, I just want to say something because I talked to the mayor of Green Bay.
They're here.
Talked to the mayor of Green Bay.
Yeah.
And so we have a very special thing happening, which Nagler kind of knows about, but he doesn't understand everything.
Doesn't understand.
So here's the thing. So some of you might know, because you stalked me online, that at 8 a.m. on a 12 o'clock game, I have what's called my Houses Unite drink, right? So we'll have our shot or basically not a shot. We have an old fashioned or a Bloody Mary. So then what we've decided is Nagler and I are going, for those of you that are going to the game, okay? We're going to be going to Lot 1. Lot 1, okay? And actually, I meant to give you a picture. I have a picture Kyle gave me.
Way to get ahead of it there, buddy.
Yeah, I kept forgetting to do that.
I'm going to say, you got anything for transplants?
I've got a picture of the way the flag looks, okay?
Oh, it's so good. So, yes.
The plan is to meet us at the flag in Lot 1 at 9 a.m.
9 a.m., people.
Okay, because I have a very busy day, okay? My time
very valuable.
For a game very is valuable. Like, dude, that's my
those
jam.
Hours fly
that's my
by
shit.
Too.
And it flies by. So we're going to be there at 9. We're going to say hello. My hope is that we can do some kind of video to prove we were there. And
some big picture.
Right?
We'll go picture
a
with
picture,
everybody.
A video, yeah. Whatever. And then I'm out. Okay?
Word.
And you're out. So it's like 9 a.m. And if you can't show up at 9 a.m. for a tailgate at a noon game.
It's not like we're asking 7 a.m. It's 9 a.m.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't show
noon game,
if you can't show up at 9 a.m. to Lot 1 and you're going to the game, like basically.
We don't want to know you.
No.
Is what we're saying.
Worse
we don't
than
that. Know
stop
you.
Being a Packer fan. Stop. Okay. My grandfather is revoking your card. And every single person who's made this team what it is today is revoking your pass. So
9 a.m. Lot 1, Cheesehead TV. And
I have a pedicure at 10.
That's maybe there'll be alcohol involved. I'm not sure, but
no, there'll be alcohol. Bring your own beer. Bring your own beer.
BYOB.
It's BYOB because we're not relying on Cousineau. If anybody takes from Cousineau, I will unfollow you on Twitter.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Okay, bring your own beer.
9 a.m. Lot 1.
If you can't show up at 9 a.m. and bring your own beer to Lot 1,
what are you even doing?
What are you doing? What are you?
What
are
is
you
your
like,
life?
What are you doing? Like, you call yourself a fan?
Oh my God, I love this show. So I'm dead, by the way. I don't know if you knew this.
Oh yeah, you're dead.
But yesterday,
yeah,
news broke.
I didn't even kill you.
News broke late in the afternoon / early evening. The Aaron Nagler had passed on. Now, I only bring this up because I thought it was kind of funny how
R.I.P.
There are three levels to this shade. And this is, I suspect, like this person has since deleted their account. But I suspect this is the same person that after I got divorced, tagged me in all my old photos with my ex. Like this is literally what they do with their life.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. One night I just turned on my phone and there was all these notifications on Insta, and I was like, what's
you
going on?
Shut that off.
Oh, yeah, well, trust me, I did after this event.
That's rude.
So that's like a couple months ago. And now last night, this person. And now here's the three levels of this that I love. First of all, multiple sources said I was dead. Multiple. And then I'm the Packers reporter who has been accused. I've never been accused, not once of this ever in my life, but apparently been accused of buying likes and followers. I wish I'd
bought.
Oh,
that's Tom Grossi.
I wish I'd bought followers when I was a younger man. I really do. You know, everything I've done has been organic, has been like kind of just grow with it, blah, blah, blah. But look, I wish I would have bought some followers back in the day? Yeah, probably. Pump myself up a little bit. Maybe, you know, I'd be a bit bigger stage. Maybe I'd be on the national level. But no, I did it organically.
You wouldn't be on Packer Everybody. Transplants then.
Oh, I'd still do Packer transplants. Somebody, like, dude, if I was on CBS News,
okay.
I'd still be doing Packer transplants.
When you became a B reporter, what was the first thing
that
to leave?
That was exclusive to the Packers. Did I still do Packer transplants when I was Sports Illustrated? Yes. Would I still do Packer transplants when I was FanDuel? Yes. Did I still do Packer transplants when I was Bleacher Report? Yes. Because I wasn't covering the Packers. I will always do Packer transplants no matter what I do. If I was on Broadway, if I auditioned for a show and was on Broadway, I'd still do Packer transplants every week. So don't give me that. And then the third level that I love about this is I was found dead in my L.A. apartment. Can I just tell you something right now? If I ever move to LA, there should be an investigation, because that's not me. It's an imposter, and maybe I am really fucking dead, because no way on God's green fucking earth would I ever move to LA. New York is where it's at.
Even if somebody paid you a lot of money?
Well, like, sure, because then I could fly back to New York.
Gotcha.
If you paid me $1 million a year, yes, I'd live in LA, but only because it would be really easy to get back to New York City. Let's take some chat questions, shall we?
Oh, is that where we are?
Yeah, we are.
I thought...
Chat questions.
Rachel's telling me to stop telling people about things.
She's very upset. You've drawn like, back the curtain people. Too far.
I'm like, I'm not telling anybody anything.
You really kind of didn't, but I can't think of anything that you...
I talked about Houses Unite, and she's like, don't talk about that.
Well,
that's our tradition, though. No one's invited unless you're invited. But you are invited.
No one's invited unless you're invited.
That's right. Don't assume you're invited.
That's fair.
Until somebody said, you can come.
You can come.
9 a.m., however, bring it.
Lot one.
Not my house. Lot one, okay? Lot one. That's in the parking lot of the Green Bay Packers.
You've already let the genie out of the bottle. You've already put the toothpaste on the brush. And she's like, don't talk about that. Well, I just talked about it. There's no going back now.
All right, let's go to the queue.
What do the people have to say?
We got a super chat from Zach. Say what you will about Mike McCarthy, but he carried the G.
Yeah.
Oh, you never showed Mike McCarthy crying.
You know, because I wasn't going to. Because you were all up in arms about it. So I was just going to skip over it.
It's really dumb. Him crying is really dumb.
It's funny because, like, earlier you were talking about empathy, and now you have none.
I have none for that.
Curious how that works.
I have zero empathy for someone who makes... Someone who has $10 million crying.
Aubrey, see, and money isn't everything. Aubrey, roll the video. This is Mike McCarthy talking to Tom Pelissero about...
Next you're going to put Jerry Jones crying and be like, I feel for him.
It's interesting. It's a very selfish profession, coaching in the NFL. I think that's a given. But what I found through this transition is what I found is our family needs us, you know. I don't know why this question sorry. We need to do this, so this is something that I feel like just because everything has happened, and this will be a great opportunity for us.
Why do you say we need to do this?
Oh shoot! I just think it's how you handle things in your life. You know, it's this coaching this league's a way of life, and you think it's a way of life for the coach, but it's for your whole family. You know, we need football right now. We won't need it forever, but we need it right now.
See, you want to clown him, and I totally feel him. You want to clown him.
I'm not clowning
him.
I
totally feel him.
I'm not clowning him. But you know what's clowning people? Is that music in the background.
Yeah, the music's terrible.
Come on, man.
It's awful.
Come on, really?
The music's awful. The music pissed me
off. You want to clown something, clown the music.
The music seriously pissed me off.
I'm not clowning anybody. I am just very surprised that... Mike McCarthy didn't expect to be fired.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I got out of some of this from Tom, which, by the way, if you haven't seen Pelissero's package that he kind of put together around McCarthy and his new coaching stuff and blah, 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 and clearly his attempt to get back into the league, I highly recommend you check it out. Now, all that said, to me, this hit home, and it's like he really... obviously a scattershot throughout the first part of that entire answer. And Tom thankfully kind of followed up and said, why do you say that? That last part, when he said, we're not going to need it forever, but we need football right now, including we, meaning the family. Man, I felt that. I felt it. I totally get it. I understand he's a very financially successful individual. And that insulates you from a lot and or helps you in certain ways that probably a lot of people wish they...
It's beyond financially successful, okay.
Yeah, no, but he is very successful. I'm not going to go down the, I'm a successful head coach that everyone clowned him on for saying that live in a press conference.
No, but I'm just saying there's different levels of success, but okay.
No, of course. To me, I understand where he's coming from in regards to his family.
Yep.
and the sudden nature of being fired, even though he probably should have expected it, he probably should have braced his family for it. He lives in fucking Green Bay, which, funnily enough, I think one of the reasons I connected with this is when the first time I ever had a sit down with him, when I was with the Green Bay Press Gazette, we sat for my podcast and I asked him about the fishbowl nature of Green Bay. And he did at the time talk about how great most people were in Green Bay. And I stress most because obviously there are always some jagoff Yahoo, whatever.
Yep.
Now, what I loved about that, what I connected with, was the idea of family and football and needing it in a real way, not some bullshit NFL PR, football is family, yada, yada, yada. Your family, which includes several young children, got very used to a certain rhythm of your life, which was then completely uprooted when you got fired. And yes, I agree. It was time for him to go. There's no argument there. I keep saying, people say, do you think you should not have been fired? No. Yes, I 1,000,000,000% agree with the decision to fire him. It was time to move on. But that doesn't mean the repercussions and the ripples through his family aren't real and that there aren't struggles. Yes. Will he undoubtedly get another job and go someplace else? I don't doubt it for a second. But I feel for the guy in the moment.
I don't think that interview did him any favors with any NFL owner. That's all I'm going to say about that. I don't know, because I would question a lot of. I have some questions. If I was an NFL owner, I would have questions.
But you know, that's not the only part of the interview, right? I mean, there's like many other minutes.
The whole interview, not just that part. That's not what I'm talking about. I watched the interview.
Mm-hmm.
I just would, and I mean, a lot of people have questions about Mike McCarthy. Just like.
No,
I'm reading the chat.
All right. I hope he gets a job in Dallas because I want to see him with Jerry Jones. That'd be amazing.
Thank goodness Nagler is alive. Can you imagine if Banky was left up to his own devices? It would be an epic hour-long rant with no structure but with a smattering of truth. Only a smattering?
Smattering?
Interesting. Hmm. AJ Vincent, thanks for the super chat. What is stopping the Packers from giving Aaron Jones 30 touches on Sunday? Jamal Williams. Four kids by kids. Why is Allison still getting so many snaps?
God, I wish I knew. I mean, at what point do you just go, okay, it's Kumerow time? I mean, isn't it Kumerow time? Has it not been Kumerow time? I don't know.
JB Cheesehead, thank you for the super chat. What do a couple diehard Pack fans who love Cheesehead TV need to do in order to get the invite to Banky's for a couple of brewskis this weekend? We'll bring the epic craft beers for all to share.
Come to Lot 1. Lot 1.
We're going to be in Lot 1, 9 a.m. That's how you get to see us.
And Cheesehead TV will tweet out the flag to look for.
Chad Bartell, thanks for the super chat. When do we get our Entitled Town t-shirts?
Ooh, that's coming. Really good. That's really good.
Mark Ingram, heard on the radio today, passing game is Aaron Rodgers and running is LaFleur's. They are not missing.
Yeah, that's not entirely true.
You know why I put that is because... Don't listen to everything you hear on the radio. I've met half those people, and I'd rather listen to Tom Silverstein on the radio. That's saying a lot.
Wow.
Dustin Shute, thanks for the super chat. Cousins dances as well as Trubisky throws left.
Nice. Well played. Like
Andy Bernigan, thanks for the super chat. I'll be in New York next week. Can I buy Nagler a beer?
Sure.
Oh, sure. You want to buy him a beer, but not me? It's not very nice. Lucas Stahl, hey, thanks for reading my Patreon message. The Bears still suck.
Correct.
Yes, thanks for being a Patreon, and thanks for watching. David Orioli, where do you think McCarthy will end up in 2020?
Honestly, I think my guess would be Dallas or New York, maybe Carolina, though my hunch is Tepper wants to go younger, but we'll see. But, God, Dallas or New York would be amazing.
That's all we got.
Cool. Got anything else? You want any other complaints or demurs before we sign off for the week?
About you?
Sure. Why not?
I have zero complaints about you.
Yeah, right now. Because you got them all out. That's good. That'll do it for this week's installment of Packer Transplants. But hey, by the way, if you are wondering, hey, maybe I should or I shouldn't join their Patreon, our Patreon members got an exclusive behind-the-scenes look at Packer Transplants prior to this broadcast. You could, too, next week. join.
You could watch the one we just did.
If you join Patreon. It's there for all our Patreon members. Patreon.com/CheeseheadTV. All we ask is $5 a month. It's all we ask. It supports everything we do. Just on the video side, content side, social side, everything. Can't thank our Patreon members enough. You guys are amazing. I can't believe the kind of outpouring we've got, especially from like the executive producer and associate producer levels. Pretty incredible. We'd like to thank everyone who stopped by to chat some Packers with us. That's why Corey and I are here. We are and will always be devoted to Packers fans worldwide.
Hey, Winston, I'm sorry. Where is the Winston that has given us illumination and information at past press conferences? Do we do something that you're down on us again? But this was what, last week, it didn't go very well, and we want to talk about your guys, and I'm not quite sure what you want from us to make that happen.
I can't help you.